American Floyd Landis is wearing the leader's yellow jersey today in the Tour de France. He reclaimed it yesterday after a grueling 110-mile race through the French Alps. That stage featured three alpine peaks and no less than 21 hairpin turns. Landis now holds a 10-second lead. Joining us is sports journalist James Rea. He's traveling with the cyclists on the tour, and he's on the line from France. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. Luxembourg's Frank Schleck won yesterday's stage, so explain to us why Floyd Landis is wearing the yellow.
Well, Floyd is, the cycling is a very much a sport of tactics, and you don't necessarily have to win a stage to take the leader's jersey. So he's had two very difficult mountain stages, and Floyd finished third in the first one and fourth in the second one. And cycling is very much a chess game, so he strategically finished fourth, but he finished higher than the guy who held the jersey previously. So Floyd Landis, the rider from San Diego, California, took a 10-second lead into today's 16th stage. He had the jersey after the 11th stage, but on purpose, he kind of gave up the jersey so he and his team didn't have to race so hard.
Now, today's competition continues to be in the mountains and will also be grueling. What makes this particular stage so difficult for cyclists?
Well, today's stage, the riders climbed about 25 miles right at the start of the stage over the most famous mountain in the Tour de France called the Col des Galibiers, and it rises up to 8,000 feet approximately in the Alps, and very, very steep climbing with switchbacks, narrow roads, very sharp descents. So it's the most well-known mountain in the Tour de France, and the riders did it today, and they've been riding for more than 2 weeks. So, you know, they're kind of at the limits of endurance, but there's today and tomorrow still in the Alps, and it's the two most difficult days.
Some wobbly legs and burning lungs by the end of this stage.
Pretty much. As a matter of fact, the reigning world champion of cycling, Oscar Ferreri, has won the world championship three times. He finished last in the stage yesterday, 36 minutes behind the leader. So even the best cyclists can have their bad days when they get to their limits, and that's it for the day. They have to finish to continue, but sometimes it's pretty far back from the leader.
Floyd Landis was a teammate of Lance Armstrong and actually helped pave the way for three of Armstrong's wins. Now it's looking like this may be his year for victory.
I think so. You know, he only has a 10-second lead right now. And as I mentioned earlier, with the two Alp stages left, you know, Floyd could have a bad day. He could puncture and crash. I mean, anything could happen, but he is the favorite in the race. And you're right, he was a very strong rider for Lance Armstrong, and now Lance is retired. And Floyd is the captain of his own team, the Phonak team. And he was a pre-race favorite, and now he's regained a jersey, but it's only by 10 seconds, and they have a long way to go, five good days until the riders arrive in Paris. But I would say Floyd has a pretty good chance, or a better chance than most of the field, to be the third American to win the Tour de France.
Sports journalist James Rea covering the Tour de France today in the French Alps. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Spectators at the Tour de France have only a passing glance at the action as the cyclists speed by them. Nothing like the plush accommodations some fans enjoy at sporting events here in America. And that brings this question from commentator Frank DeFord.
Do you get the feeling that there are really no more stadiums and arenas being built in the United States? Oh, these palaces where sports are played are flying up all over. But what they really seem to be are just a bunch of luxury boxes that happen to be attached to a few hard grandstand seats. The profit in sports comes by selling luxury boxes to expense accounts and swells. So, take me up to the luxury box. Take me off from the crowd. Give me some champagne and caviar. I don't care if they even keep score. Let me call for the waitress. If she won't come, it's a pox. For it's one, two, three kinds of wine at the old luxury box. And boy, have you peasants ever been in one? Boy, are luxury boxes wonderful. The booze, the fine food, the service, the private powder rooms. Best of all, especially at a freezing cold football game, is deigning to glance down upon the poor hoi polloi. Just outside your luxury box, their lips blue, their bodies shivering, as they look back at you with wistful, longing eyes, like poor urchins at the window of the pastry shop. It's glorious. Being in a luxury box is better even than not having to pay any estate tax. Isn't it paradoxical, too? Sports are supposed to be for the masses, yet you will not find luxury boxes at the opera or the ballet. Even when you get a house seat on Broadway, that's all you get, a seat. Just the place to rest your backside. Only in sports do we generally find plush, sumptuous, lavish condominium accommodations. So can you believe it? There is actually a place in America today where humble citizens are fighting the construction of luxury boxes. Yes, in Ann Arbor, Michigan, home of what is called the Big House, the largest stadium in America, many alumni and professors of the University of Michigan are vigorously trying to convince the Board of Regents not to spend something like $250 million to build suites that would rent up to $85,000 apiece for a mere 7 college football games. The Big House is a huge oval, and the luxury boxes, totaling 425,000 square feet, would do great aesthetic violence to the classic old bowl. Since the game day pied-à-terres would cost so much to build, it's even dubious that they can actually make the university any money. And that, after all, is the whole purpose of luxury boxes. So finally, somewhere in the Republic, the lowly common folk have risen up against the sports aristocracy. So let us, with them, give new voice to that great Michigan fight song, Hail to the Victors. Hail to the fat cats dining, hail to the privileged gentry, hail, hail to luxury box, the poshest and the best. Hail to the nouveau drinking, hail to the hi-hat blue bloods, hail, hail to luxury box, the measure of success.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from the People's Station, WSHU, in Fairfield, Connecticut. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm John Instey.